Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to learn about the music industry from the inside out. Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Yeah, y'all know what it is.
Get ready to hear today's newest stars of hip hop, rock, pop, R&B, gospel, and more.
That's it.
Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio. Tonight, it's going to be a terrific night. Awesome night, incredible night, right here on the show tonight. But before we get too deep into the topic, let me introduce it first, and then before we get into the topic, let's go ahead and cover the show like we normally do here. Tonight we're going to be talking about editing. We've been doing a series for the past few weeks on the recording, the mixing, the mastering. That's probably next week, actually. We've been doing a series of so you guys can learn something of all phases when it comes to that recording phase. Tonight we're talking about editing, the bloops, the blunders, and often the wonders that comes from the recording. As I said before, we get too deep into the topic. Let's go ahead and cover the show. Lord, we bow our heads to you to give you honors in which you have given to us as a gift that we can explore our talents and come together and communicate collectively as a community, come together and share our thoughts among each other with each other so that we all can grow from it tremendously. Lord, we ask that you bless every ear and every mind that is locked and loaded to our program. We ask that you give them a blessing that they can actually take it to the bank one day as they explore this business of music. And Lord, let them not forget who has given them this gift. We ask you that in Jesus' name as we pray. Amen. All right, guys. Like I said, tonight we're talking about the editing phase, the bloops, the blunders, and often the wonders of the recording. Make no mistake, in the recording studio, everything that can go wrong will. So you have to be prepared. Just to name a few of the things that can go wrong, computers crashes. Artists come in with their vocals not tight for the night because they had a long night the night before. They've gone out, chilling out at the party and having fun, screaming, and not ready for the next day. What do you do in light of these things? The things to control the recording so we can get a good recording out of it. Sometimes, often we go into the booth and while things are going functionally wrong in the control room, the artist is in the booth, the quiet room, making noise, making sounds. How do we capture those sounds so we can benefit later on when we do the mixing and the mastering of the recording? When we get ready to do that final mix, how can we capture stuff to make sure we don't overlook that? And sometimes we overdo things. Sometimes our talents allow us to overspill into what the band is capable of doing as engineers. Everybody play a role. The producer play a role, the artist play a role, the engineer plays a role when we're all in the studio. But it's being mindful of the capability of things, the incapability of things as well. Like I said, anything that can go wrong will go wrong in the studio. Sometimes the only thing that you can really fall back on is the pencil and the pad, so you can record some of the things that you've made a mistake on. Make sure you have a guided track of things that you need to do and accomplish while you're in the studio. Anyway, I'm going to bring in my panel. I'm going to open the door to Frankie. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Poetic, how's everybody tonight on Hip Hop National Radio? It's a pleasure to be here tonight. I love the format. I'm calling in from Rex, Georgia, right outside of Atlanta, Georgia. So I'm calling y'all from Georgia tonight. I'm not in my Philly home spot tonight. I'm in Georgia. So
give me a briefing of what your thoughts are for the night, for the night's top.
Well, a brief synopsis,
yeah,
of my contribution to the editing phase of the show and why it's important and how it plays into the whole process is that, remember, the recording puts down the initial ideas. The editing is what you use to clean it up, to make it presentable before you take it to the mastering phase. So that's how brief I'm going to keep it for right now, because I love the conversation, the topic that you got tonight, and I'm going to save the good stuff for great later.
Awesome, awesome. Rondo, welcome to Hip Hop.
Hey, Poetic.
Where you calling in from, Rondo?
Good evening. I'm calling from Washington State. I'm up here in Washington State, the Pacific Northwest, the Evergreen capital. And, I like this topic because editing, you have to think of it like this, a doctor for the music. Can fix, can change, can remove. And, you know, that I look at it as that you have to be a doctor to the music. And so, you know, hey, we'll get into that because, you know, you can remove, you can add, you can enhance, you know, you can do all of those phases in editing. And we'll get into that later on in the show.
Brother Hatch, welcome to Hip Hop.
Hey, hey, hey. Good evening. Good to be back on Hip Hop National. Just want to say hello to you, Brother Poetic, and Brother Raw Dog, and my partner Frankie D. And I just want to say, just to cover a minute what Brother Raw Dog said, and what Brother Frankie D said is, when it comes to editing, as I just say, this is the last phase before mastering. And it's the next phase after mixing. And the only thing I can say about editing, this is the phase where actually most of the time you're going to see the artist and musician cringe. And the reason why I say that is because editing, like I said, that's where you start removing a lot of stuff, you know. And we'll take it from there on the discussion.
All right. And just want to let our listeners know, call in at 213-559-2995. Again, the number is 213-559-2995. Please press the number 1. Let us know that you want to be a participant in tonight's topic. And that by pressing the number 1, it kindly raise your hand, kind of give us an alert that you are wanting to be a part of the topic. So, and if you're trying to get your music here on the program, go to www.hiphopnational.com. Back to the topic. All right. So, can you share with me, and I'm going to start off with Frankie. Frankie, share with me some of the things that you've experienced, why you've been in that recording, in the recording mode, that you've seen what you would say was definitely a bloop or a blunder.
Okay, we can start like this with a bloop or a blunder.
I hear a TV. Somebody got a TV going. Could y'all turn it down? I got your mics open so we can have a discussion.
Turn TV down, y'all.
That's you, Frankie.
Yeah, that's me. Tell them to turn TV down. What I've experienced through the editing process, like which was already stated, is that this is the phase where we do all our cleanup. This is where we try to make this track that's presentable to industry or whoever we're trying to present this package to. some of the blunders that you can come across is, like you was mentioning earlier, what we stated when we got before we got on the air, is that when you have an artist that feels that what they've done is perfect, that there's nothing else we can do it, I don't want you to change a thing. You understand? Because in their ears, they're hearing it from one perspective. And what I would like to say is that this is where the producer has a powerful say in this process, is because the artist himself can't see what he's doing when he's doing it. You need that outside person to be able to come through and say, listen, I like what you did right there, but it's not working. So we're going to take that out and just bring in whatever, this background vocal, and compensate for that. Just trust me on that. A lot of times you may get a whole lot of arguments because they feel you're taken away from what they created. This is not my song anymore. This is your song. But what they have to understand is a producer's job is to bring out the talent of the artist and make it better. So a lot of blunders that you're going to hear is a lot of vocal stuff. You know, you're going to hear a lot of vocal stuff that you know doesn't fit because it may crossfade into a part that's coming up, a verse, a change, or whatever, a chorus. And you might want to ease that back a little bit because you want to build up. You don't want to give them it all at one time. You know, some of the blunders that you have is that when the producer allows the artist to take control of the recording, and we don't get what we need initially, because when we go back now, we got to clean up a whole lot more as opposed to cleaning it up before we got there. And we do have editing process during the recording process, which we call punch in and punch out, where you may make a mistake and you don't want to start the whole recording over. So you say, just take it back to right there and punch me in, or start right there so I can fill in where I messed up. And then you can do stuff like that. You know, but it's very important that we keep in mind that the editing is what's going to make this record viable. Because if you don't have a good edit, say you got a lot of noise in there from instruments coming from on your mix, or you've got breath noises on the vocals after you spoke, or somebody's talking and it's on that particular track, you want to clean all that stuff out so that it's pristine, it's perfect. Your goal is to try to make the best product that you can possible. So editing is very crucial to the mix because we got to get everything right at this stage.
All right. Very powerful there, brother. Very powerful. And let's go to Rodolfo.
Well, you know, he did say something about the artists and their input and their temperament. And they're inside the box, you know. I'm more of a producer rather than an open studio, because I found issues when I have people coming to me because they want to hear something and it may not be there. You know, it just may not be within that vocal track or the musical track. You know, and in editing and mixing, you know, the one good thing and a tool to have on the side is a sampler, because within that, you know, you can take that track, extract it from your musical program, and twist it. And what I mean by twisting it mean, you know, it might not have their vocal might be just a little bit draggy, a little bit slow, and you can speed it up. You can even change the sound of their voice so that it enhances it, and then retrack it. You know, the funny part about, you know, and I, let's put it like this. I love the computer that they brought it to that, and that's the way that music is being recorded these days, because you can actually manipulate the musical tracks. You know, you can actually add tracks that they don't even know about, as far as what we call it's a harmonic that when the drops in the music get there that keep the music full, you know. And you know, there's a lot of tricks in editing to make a production full I mean, you know, it's like being a doctor. You know, you have to give enhancements to the vocals, and there are different things that you can do with that. You know, to make them fuller. You know, we talked about tripling the tracks last time on some artists and in some productions, so that we could get a more full voice. You know, you can even add instruments, because now they have MIDI, which, you know, you can then add to that production and help artists and bands within that, you know, their production. You know, and so I produce. I just don't open the door and say, hey, you know, you pay me to record, because anything coming out the door that has my name on it, excuse me, I don't want to be blamed for its inadequacy. And that's what a lot of, you know, your people will gripe on different studios and say, oh, I went there, but I'm not satisfied. You know, any old excuse is better than none. But what they don't understand is that most artists or bands need a producer. They need someone outside of the box to either say, hey, you know, this is not working, this needs additional instrumentation, the vocals are not, you need to retrack and rethink and, you know, emphasize different points in the vocal that they're laying in the track. You know, we've seen it on television. Candy Burris, she was in the studio, and she was laying down the track, and they stopped the track, and they said, we need you to do that better. We need more and more from you in emotion within that line. You know, so what you have going on is that a lot of studios that just rent time, they're not caring about the production. And you hear people grumble about the product because, you see, all they're going to do is track it. You know, you're not paying them to edit it. You know, unless you take it to a higher point and tell them, I'm paying you to produce this song. What does it need? How do you hear it? You know, then you've got an issue, and you're probably going to be dissatisfied, you know? So I'll let someone else put some input now.
All right.
Yes,
what's your thoughts,
yes.
Patch?
Well,
I'm
smiling and grinning because what I said in my opening statement, you can see how it affects the producer in the studio. And that's why I say when it comes to editing, that's the stage of the game that always notice. This is when the artists and the musicians start cringing. You know, and what I mean by that.
Well, you know what? I wanted to say something to you. In your opening statement, you said it's the mixing, and this is the editing is the phase between the mixing and the mastering. How is that? Because I'm not that engineer, but I just want to know.
Well,
had to have everything together, and then you mix and master.
No, well, the reason why I said that last week we was touching on the difference of recording.
Well, let's just say it's not necessarily in order.
There's actually five stages, but the four main stages is you have your recording, mm-hmm. you have your mixing, you have your post-editing, and then you have your editing, and then you have your mastering. So editing is this third phase of the game of recording. Most of the time, by the time you get to the editing, there shouldn't be anything as far as recording that you should be dealing with the music. If you had a good recording, what we were talking about last week, if you have a good recording, you had a perfect mix down, editing should become the easy part. Because mainly the most part of editing that you're really concerned with is is timing, your fade-ins, your fade-outs, you know, the order and the listings in which you're putting your songs together for the album. Because Frankie D said, this is the preparation where you get everything put in place for the mastering part, where they're going to make the final product for you. So like Raw Dog said, you got your name at the end of the list of what comes out of that studio as far as your final product. And I said, well, I want to go back to the artists and musicians, because again, most of the time in the editing, like Raw Dog said, you know, you're the operator, you're the doctor. And most of the time you're going in to cut and remove something. You're not mostly going to add anything. So, like I said, you had a musician that had a 5-minute solo in the song, you know, and you cut it down to 30 seconds, and you know, he's upset with you because he feel that's the best solo he ever did in his life, and you just ruined it for him. You know, the vocal had a part in there in the background, or some ad lib that, you know, he or she done, you know, that the producer felt that it took away from the mood or the song. So, you know, it's edited, it's taken out. You know, so that's why you hear, when it comes to producer, most of the time in the studios, when you hear that conflict of interest, you know, it's because the producer making his final steps on the creation of the music, you know. And like I said, a lot of times, you know, the artists and the musicians, they're not going to be on the same platform with you. You know, but the main thing I want to add on before we go on, that I just like to say, when it comes to the editing part, and when you say blunder, a mistake in the studio, whatever you do, especially when it comes to computers, I've used the term like this, so you never forget, Jesus saves. Always save your work. And the work that you're going to work on, make it a copy. Because what you take away.
That's one of the most common mistakes that people make right there.
Exactly. That's why. Because most of the time,
people forget to save.
There you go. You know, so that's one of the blunders I've been caught up in myself, and like, wow, I did all that work and forgot to save it, you know. So I'll leave
that's
it at
lesson,
that for
that's
now.
That's a lesson. That's a valuable lesson to be learned.
So just remember,
friend,
Jesus saves.
And so you should too.
I hear somebody laughing back there. I must not have been by myself.
That's me, man. I'm just it's the truth. Rodolph, what's your thoughts?
Well, he's right on that. You know, there has been many instances where, you know, you get to a certain point and, you know, he might get tired or what have you. And I've had that situation happen. But you know what? Thank God I'm running Logic Pro, because it asked me if I want to save it before I cut it off. And without that, there would be times that I, you know, I would think that I have gone through the right procedures and found that I had forgotten that one thing. You know, the thing about, you know, editing, you have to realize that, you know, that each line, you can hear each track individually. So when, you know, and you've got to have a good ear. I think Frankie D said that on the last show. You need your hearing checked, because you've got to have a good ear, because it's so easy to miss something that's going to come out and stand out later on in the recording, that, you know, it was transparent to someone that might not have a good hearing range, you know, and it will affect the recording. And, you know, I preach using a sampler because, just like Hat said, that, you know, in saving a track, you know, it's very important because once you start editing, you can over-edit. And you find that, you know, that you took a little bit, you went a little far, you know. And I've done, you know, I've done recordings for other people, and I've realized that you have to give them a comparison of what it started like and where you got it to. Because they don't understand that, you know, you're there to do the best to your abilities in making it a good product. And, you know, they have to hear where it started from and now where it's at. And I believe that's one of the things that you have to do, you know?
Okay. Now, let's okay, we was talking about the blutes and some blondes. Now, question is, could the mic sometimes be mic'd too tight the subject? Let's say maybe we need to record some drums, we need to record some bass, you know, a bass or live instruments, or even the vocalist. The distance of the mic, could it affect the quality of the recording in the digital age?
It most certainly can. This is Frank's coming in on to expound on that subject. It most certainly can. But remember, as we spoke earlier in our conversations throughout these past weeks, is that your product is only going to be as good as the source material. So if you have someone who has poor microphone skills, in other words, they want to shout when they're real close to the microphone, distort out the mic, or they're far away from the mic and they're real soft and you can't hear them, so it's hard to get a level on them, you know, distance between that, from where you stand on the microphone or where you place your microphones from your amplifiers for live recordings, is crucial because it's going to affect the sound that you're trying to create. But keep in mind also, you have to start off with good quality equipment, because my microphone, you can get as close as you want, you're not going to distort it out, so it's not going to have an effect on it whatsoever. Or you can pull back far away, and it's not going to have an effect. So it's the quality of the microphones you're using and the source, the vocalist himself. What kind of skills do they have that allows them to know when to pull back from the microphone to project a higher frequency or a louder level, and then when to pull in when they got something subtle and a little softer? So it can affect it, but not necessarily, depending on your microphone and the artist you're dealing with.
Runoff.
Yeah.
What's your feedback?
Well, you know, he's correct.
How about live instruments?
Well, and, see, I mean, now.
Could we put the mic too close at a bass where we get an overfeed? You know how sometimes you turn one mic to another mic, and you get feedback, and it gives us feedback, and you know what I mean? Talking about?
Well, yeah. See, but now
that stuff picks up in the recording.
I'm gonna say this to you. You're telling your age now because you're kind of old school, okay? Now, and why I say this?
I got
most amplifiers
that's what
now
I said,
have outputs.
That's why I said in the digital age. You heard that part?
No. But listen to me. Most amplifiers, when you have live musicians and what have you, the amplifiers have outputs. Those outputs and the equipment that you have that you're recording through, to your interface and what have you, you know, the depth of your equipment will allow you to go from the outputs of these instruments, the amplifiers, to the recording track. And so what happens is that you don't have that microphone issue in recording a bass, a lead guitar, because unless they're using old amplifier equipment, and some do, and then you have to figure out the microphone technique and what have you. But generally, they have outputs that you can plug directly in to your interface or to your patch bay that then will allow you to plug it within your interface to record from, you know. And, you know, when you start talking about drums and what have you, they've always been hard to record because you can never tell how hard a drummer is going to hit the cymbal or hit the bass drum and what have you. And so that's that you have to be on if you're going to do a recording with a drummer that's playing acoustic drums. That's the drum sets that we've all seen on stage. But in our studio, we employ digital drums, which has the outputs to go directly into the interface. And that way we can record anything that the drum might do.
Now that's the digital drum. But I'm talking about, I mean, some people want that live feel of a real drum.
See, that's why I say you're telling your age. Because, see, the digital drums, a drummer can do the same thing that acoustic. You can dial all of that in. I mean, it just, I'm going to say this to you. You know, it's
I don't know because I got a musician that I recently worked with, and she just wanted all live instruments, everything.
She wants all live instruments.
She wanted she actually did a recording recently with physical live instruments.
Okay, but see now, you can't swear to that.
Well, all I know is that's what she.
No. Listen to me, and I say why I say this. Even acoustic drums now have triggers that will allow them to be recorded digitally.
Okay.
That's, you know, electronics has come a long way. You know, even though you have a guitar player, and I think Frankie D, he plays bass, if I'm not mistaken, he'll tell you that there are outputs from his amplifier that will give the same tono as you hear coming out of the amplifier through the recording bay. You know, a piano is one of the hardest instruments to mic up and to play. Digitally, now they have pianos that you can now record from and get the full sound of the piano and the clarity and the depth and the expression that the pianist is trying to put within his playing of his composition. So, you know, I hear what you're saying about, you know, all live instrumentation. And yes, but there are tricks in the studio that they may do that they're not saying. You know, you can have a guitar player with his amplifier, and he has outputs, and it can go into the board. But that doesn't mean you're recording off of his amplifier speaker, you know. That's the only thing of the acoustic drums. Yes, there are some that will mic them up. And
all right,
then,
I love talking to you, but I hate to cut you off because I've been letting it go. We're going to the break for a moment. So we'll
all
be back. I love when you exude your passion the way you do. Man, you're doing an awesome job. Keep it up. Tonight, we're talking about editing, the bloops and the blunders, and often the wonders of the recording. When we come back, let's start talking about some of those wonders, some of the things that we capture. That's also magic in the recording. So when we come back, we'll be talking about that. Y'all stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio.
Sunlight Productions and Publishing, bringing to you one of their featured groups, Frank and Hatch, hitting you hard with their new release song, My Brother's Keeper, from their new CD entitled New Testament on
Hip Hop National Radio.
I made a promise, I keep my promises. promise, I keep my promise, and down, rep on me till I eternally rest. From the womb to the tomb, tricycle to hearse, I'ma keep the promise on me till I break off this curse. What's worse, having no brother to keep? I'ma keep my brother's plan designed to rock us to sleep. My track fang with that fat ass hook in your ear. I parlay like this 365 days a year. I'll be your strength when you're weak.
I got mad love for ya.
On a mission, from which is my condition, my condition. I'll be missing you always and forever. I made a promise, I'ma keep.
Promises, promise, I keep my promises.
Hip-Hop National Radio will help you get the word out about your business,
your music,
or music products, starting as low as $15 a spot. We aim to meet your advertising needs. We do viral marketing, website development,
website hosting,
internet audio presentation,
voiceovers,
professional beat production,
publicity,
radio and record promotion,
consulting,
corporate identities,
event planning and promoting,
printing, graphic design,
CD pressing,
and duplication,
voice on hold,
radio commercial production,
TV commercial production,
video production,
file conversion,
contracts, and more. For more details, log on now to www.hiphopnationalradio.com or call 877-580-8555. That's 877-580-8555.
Industry professionals, have you been looking for an outlet to get your music heard? Hip Hop National Radio and HipHopNational.com, your digital service provider to get the best music first. Pop, rock, jazz, R&B, gospel, and etc. All genres of music with a hip-hop twist. This is your chance to get it first and stay on top of the competition. HipHopNational.com is for you. Log on now.
This station is a member of BOB, Band of Online Broadcasters, powered by Cloud Radio.
Boy, sometimes the boy can go crazy. The things that will go wrong in the studio sometimes will. So that's what we was having just now. We was kind of experiencing some technical issues ourselves right here on the program. Anyway, going to open up some lines. Hopefully, I'm not seeing the same problem I just saw just now. I'm going to go to caller 832-504. But before I go to the caller, let's restate what the show is about tonight. We're talking about editing the bloops and blunders and often the wonders of the recording. And if you want to get involved, go to www.hiphopnationalradio.com. That's www.hiphopnationalradio.com. Upload your music today. Promote it to your family, your friends, and your fans. Let them know that your music is being supported now on the platform. When you get the go-ahead to do so, promote, and don't get that out of order. I think Charlie V told us that. So anyway, and also, if you guys are feeling, you know, lucky, got a little extra cash, anything you want to do, you can also support our program through our donation button right on our website, www.hiphopnational.com. And I'm going to open up the floor to area code 832-504. Please state your name, where you're calling in from.
Yes, good evening. This is Mainline on the line, and I'm calling from Houston, Texas, the lovely Houston, Texas. And I have a question I would like to pose to the panel. You know, as we all know, we recently lost another one of our geniuses, George Duke, in the music industry just a short time ago. And so I dusted off some of my albums, and I was listening to Stanley Clarke, who played with him extensively, and I was listening to the album called School Days by Stanley Clarke. Now, I had that same recording on a CD. And since I've been listening to your shows over the previous weeks, I kind of listen to music differently now because the knowledge that your panel has sharing, you know, it's made me, you know, I don't have an untrained ear, and as a music appreciator, I'm hearing things differently now than I did before. So that's growth on my side, and again, I'd like to thank your panel for that. And my question is that on the album recording, I can hear Stanley playing his guitar, and I could hear his fingers sliding up the strings. I could actually hear his fingers going up and down the fretboard. On my CD recording of the same School Days album, I can't hear any of that. It's like it's just a flat sound. Even on the album recording, I can hear the swish brooms going over the drum. So my question is, I guess, it's an uneducated question, but are the sounds that I'm hearing him pulling his fingers over the strings and the swish brooms that I'm hearing in the back from the drums, is that a blunder or is that an actual technique of recording between the CD recording and the album recording? So I put that out there. If it made any sense to your panel to help me out.
Well, let me try to help you on this one. This is Raw Dog. Now, you know
what? Hey, what's going on, Raw Dog?
Hey, it's a good evening. We're all alive, you know?
But tell me.
You know what? I found that same difference between the CD and the album. And, you know, we got to go back to think that album was analog recorded. What happens when you, you know, how they might have preserved the files determines how that's the quality and the depth of what you're going to hear on that CD. And see, okay, there's the catch to it. You're going to lose some things in transition from analog to digital, and they call themselves cleaning it up, okay? But it takes away the feel of the musician actually playing. And I understand that because I've heard that difference, you know. In George Clinton's, when P-Funk, the Parliament, you know, Maggot Brain, for instance, you know, I heard the difference. There are nuances that made that George Duke album as great as it was when they put it out that they lost in that printing of the CD. And, you know, that's kind of the shame of it, because when they possibly did it, it was analog, and in analog, that's a tape. And transferring it from tape to digital, we don't know who did it. We don't know if they were thinking of trying to get it in the same fashion as the album. It depends upon who mixed it to that, you know, and I guess that's part of that mixing process, you know. We don't know who did that, you know. That's just like, you remember you could buy Columbia House remakes of Motown, and you could get all the Motown songs, and they sounded different from the original.
Well, yes, sir.
That's because Columbia House didn't pay the money to give you the quality of the sounds. They were just giving you all the music. And you discovered that after you got the albums, that they didn't have the fidelity as the original songs had. So fault whoever put out that second CD. And, you know, sometimes you just have to go back to the way that it was first put out there to get the best of the recording. Now, did that kind of help clear up some things and what have you on that thought? Because I'm of old school. I've found all of that to be very, very true, you know, and that's the disappointing fact. You have the difference. You have the album. You're not supposed to have that.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
you're not supposed to be able to compare.
Are you on a speakerphone?
Are you speaking to me?
No, to Mainline.
Yes, sir. Hold up. But go to the next person, and because I got my speaker
Frank,
on the phone. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Frank.
I apologize for that. But thank you, Raw Dog. You took me there. Thank you so much.
All righty,
Frank.
You're welcome.
Frankie.
Okay. Let me add to that. You know why you don't hear that anymore. Actually, I will challenge the brother to go back and listen to it. It's still there. You can't take it out completely. We're basically, what you're talking about is frequency levels now, and what we call a noise floor. What we will allow to come through on the sound, and where we're going to clip the sound or cut it off at. The touching of, because I'm a bass player, guitar player, the touching of the strings in the bass, that sound is intricate. It goes together. So you're not going to take it out completely, but you can take it out if it's overwhelming, the sound. You usually hear it a lot on acoustic guitars, not necessarily electric guitars because of the amplification. But if you listen to a lot of acoustic stuff, you can hear the strings and the fingering when you hear that. So it's still there. It's just that it's been clamped down so much that you can't hear it. For them to try to completely eliminate it would actually touch on to the actual note that's being played. So it's still there.
Actually,
it's just that now we clean it up.
Sometimes I find it in a recording. I kind of like that sound. That like you said, the feel of that sound.
That's what makes it real. See, this is when you can tell.
Yeah, yeah.
This is when you can tell a real analog person, guitar player, from a electronic one, because you won't hear it.
Like some of Tracy Chapman.
But keep in mind that some of these digital programs will recreate the string, the fingering noise, so that it can give the illusion that this is an actual person playing. Just like when they brought back the actual record scratch sound, and then they started putting on records where it was intentionally sound like it was a scratched up record, you know? So when you're talking about digital and MP3 in particular, which a lot of this stuff is recorded now, it compresses the sound. It squeezes out sounds that we think as a human ear that is unnecessary, or we can't hear it. So that's what happens in that effect. But just like Poetic said, to me, when I hear that sound, I know that's a cat actually in there playing that, and then I can appreciate what he's doing as opposed to somebody sitting there programming on the keyboard.
And Hatch.
I would just like to add on to that too. It's a saying in the business about the analog and digital, and just what the other was asking the question. He is saying that the difference between the sound. That's what we mean in the business now when they say digital is cold and analog being warm, because now we're just talking about the processes and the different signals and frequency. I said with the as you were speaking earlier about the microphone, that was one of the tricks and trades and the advantage of recording the instruments through the microphone, because you was able to pick up on the acoustics and the sound, the natural sound of the musician's fingers hitting the strings. And like I said, when you he's rubbing his fingers on the strings and you can hear it, because it was a part of a recording where we not only used the amplification of the instrument going directly through the board, but we would use the microphone to capture the sound of the room. And that's why I said it depends on the engineer, the editing mode, and the producer, as far as, you know, do you want to hear that sound, you know, or is that sound a more nuisance? And the reason why they removing it out of the digital sound is because of that coldness and that pure sound that they want from digital now, or pure instrumentation. And most of the instruments that are being played now is even through sampling, synthesizers or programs off the computer. Frankie D said, unless it's a sample sound where they actually use it to cause that effect to make it sound like it's a real guitar being played, compared to an electronic guitar. This is one of the tricks and trades of mixing and editing. Whether you say, is it a good thing? It's a bad thing, you know. I'm counting on the old school side too. I like to hear the realness and the warmthness of the instrument that we used to get through analog, compared to what they call. That's what they mean by that cold sound. And the thing about digital now compared to analog, where those sounds they was considered sound, and digital they're considered noise. And as we were speaking about noise floor, white noise, and these different variations of sounds that comes in during your recording, digital has something in it where they call dithering. And what it do, it automatically hear those sounds as noise, and it erases it, you know. It canceled it out. That's why from some of the older recordings to the digital recorders, like Brother Frank said, the sounds are still there.
What did you say that effect was? It's called bittering, dithering.
Dithering.
What did you say?
Dithering.
Dithering.
Yes, it's the frequency.
Dithering.
It's what we use in digital to see the sound. So it let us see noise of visually. You can see the noise that you can't hear, and this is what they use in digital to cancel out outdoor noises. That's why when you hear most digital music or music now that's been recorded digital, like I said, you don't hear all the little hums from the amplifier that what we call made the music warm. It gave the music a feel and a balance itself. Another process of editing, what we call filtering, you know, it automatically filtered that sound out after a certain frequency, you know, it canceled it out completely. And those are the sounds that you might hear in the old analog sets, such as the touching of the fingers on the string, or the brush scraping against the drum, or the little the gear in the foot pedal when you hitting the bass, what we used to call the click. You know, if you listen to the modern music now and you listen to the old music, a lot of that stuff you don't hear in the sound today, and they purposely do that.
And then keep in mind, Hatch, also that a lot of folks today don't play instruments; they just play keyboards and synthesizers and samplers. So half of the time they won't even understand what you're talking about because they don't have that today.
Right, that's true.
Well, let me jump in there right quick and say this: the new digital music has no human emotion, or it's not human.
It's cold.
Let's just put it like that. You know, the music used to have emphasis. It used to have you the dynamic ranges. You know, I can remember the old James Brown songs that he would a live performance, and he would drop it down, and you'd hear the drums hit the snare drum, and then all of a sudden the music would drop, and you'd feel the emotion. The digital music that I've been hearing, the artistry and what have you, there's no emotion. You know, even in synthesizers, using those digital processing for whatever instrument you have, they don't have so you can put the human emotion within what you're playing. You know, so when we start talking about, you know, the live musician. See, musicians have passion. They learn through playing that they can. People can hear the passion and the artistry in their music and what they're doing. The dynamics, you know, the blood, the sweat, the heartbreak. You know, and now all digital, and no matter what the songs are, you can't hear the emotion. You know, when I think of people like Jackie Wilson, and I think of Marvin Gaye and Curtis Mayfield, in their voice you could hear the passion, the artistry. You could feel it when you played one of their albums. You can't hear that now. You know, and the young folks, they don't know anything about there is emotion within inside the music, not only the lyrics.
They just want the beat.
Yeah, it's all
just
cold.
Want the beat.
As he said, it's cold, no emotion, and you kind of go, okay, this is what I'm working with, you know. But then that's where bringing in a musician can change that production. And even though it you're going to record it digitally, you're still going to get some of that emotion through that. But it takes a musician to be able to put that in the music without an electronic instrument such as a synthesizer. And you know, I appreciate bass players. I'll tell you too that when you listen to their music, you hear emotion. And one is Alicia Keys, and the other is the gentleman that plays piano. I had his name at the tip of my tongue, and I can't think of it.
John Legend.
There you go. See, now, you know what? You hear the passion, and that's why you knew who he was.
Yeah, I know.
You know what? I'm going to say this to you. You know, when you listen to them, you hear emotion within their songs. And they're so good, and they're rare. I wish there were more young people taking up the position of being musicians that can sing. You know, it's part of what music is all about, and we got to take it back that way, but that has nothing to do with editing. So I'm going to get back to the point of editing. Someone else take it over.
Well, guess what, guys? We went through the whole break, and we were supposed to come back and talk about what the wonders of a recording. So when we come back, let's talk about some of the wonders that happen in a recording. Some of the things that we capture that, just by mistake, we can't capture it, that can be used to bring excitement to the recording. And how do we capture that? What techniques could an engineer or a producer use to make sure everything is captured? When we come back, we'll talk about that. Y'all stay with us. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. We'll talk about editing, the bloops, the blunders, and often the wonders that happen in a recording. And we'll be back in just a moment, because that's where sampling come in. And I heard Raw Dog talk about that, but typically people take their samplers out so they can capture some of the things and bring it into the studio. And those sometimes are the wonders that happen in recording. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. This is Poetic. I'll be back.
Okay, let's see if you're ready to promote your record. Hot music production? Check. Artwork and artist bio ready? Check. Advertising, marketing, and promotion? Let's begin. Start your buzz right here on Hip Hop National Radio. We're more than just radio. We have an exclusive magazine, a national flyer buddy system, an exclusive artist interview line, and we educate you on the way. And if you're ready, email us your MP3s today to mymp3@hiphopnational.com. Be sure to include the artist name, song title, and contact phone number. And after you email us, give us a call at 877-580-8555. That's 877-580-8555. Hip Hop National Radio, your platform for advertising, marketing, and promotion. Start advertising right here, right now, on Hip Hop National Radio. We're on standby. Email us and give us a call.
You've got 5 minutes? I've got That Celebrity Interview. Hi, I'm Valder Beebe, host of The Valder Beebe Show. Join me daily for my new brand, That Celebrity Interview. I get the opportunity to chat with the world's most fascinating people. I interview actors and directors and entertainers, celebrities, and everyday people on important topics and issues and life-changing causes. My interviews are authentic, revealing, and personal with my guests, who are in a 21st century mode. They're either in studio, by phone, satellite, or in exotic locations. I've interviewed people in Istanbul, Israel, London, all across the globe. Tune in daily to That Celebrity Interview. Go to ValderBBShow.com for broadcast locations of That Celebrity Interview. I'll see you there.
Hip Hop National Magazine has everything you love about being part of the hip hop generation and more. The magazine has A-list celebrity interviews from hip hop national partner, The Valder Beebe Show, style, fitness, news, health, craft, music from all genres, artist development, also articles with business decision makers on how to succeed in the entertainment industry. Read Hip Hop National Magazine online and in print. Visit hiphopnational.com. Get your hip hop national news from the number one source, Hip Hop National Magazine.
This station is a member of BOB, Band of Online Broadcasters, powered by Cloud Radio.
Well, just before we went to the break, we was going to come back and talk about the wonders. I had a call on. Unfortunately, the caller dropped off. Anonymous, if you are listening in by your any other device, feel free to call back in. We would love to answer your question, so feel free to call back in. www.hiphopnational.com. Upload your music today. Tell your family, your friends, and all your fans that your music is being supported on a platform that is looking out for you. Help us help you by uploading your music today. If you have any questions, feel free to call 954-461-3398. That's 954-461-3398. Now back to the topic. Let's talk about some of those things that we capture in sampling. One unique producer that stood out to me that caught some good sampling is I just can't believe what I just did. Timbaland caught some good, you know, good unique sounds that he brought into a recording. The question is, was it a wonder that he did, or was maybe it's a blunder and he felt that it was perfect for what he was trying to present? Sometimes those unique sounds make an outstanding recording. Can you give me some things that you've done, Raw Dog, that you caught through your sampler that brought into a magnificent recording?
Well, let me say this. Sampling is a form of stealing. And, you know, unfortunately...
Not in all cases.
Let me explain it to you. Because you have to, you know, you can twist something. You know, we have.
I mean, don't get me wrong. If you go to a railroad track, you sample the sound of the recording of the railroad, of the train coming in full force. Is that stealing? If you took a baby,
yeah,
it is.
Because you don't own that railroad, that train. But listen,
You own the sound that you captured.
Yeah.
But you didn't create it. See, you're not the creator.
You didn't create it.
And that's the difference.
So
you didn't create it.
So who's gonna sue you? Who's going to sue you from stealing from the sound of a railroad track if you got the actual recording?
Because when you put it out there, you say Burlington Northern Railroad.
Right. How about the wave of the beach? How about that?
You know, when it comes to the real natural sounds, you don't have to worry about copyright infringements. But what we're really talking about is the sampling or taking bits and pieces from already published music and trying to recreate something.
I'm going to tell you something. What happened to me? My daughter was recording a song. And I had no idea that the engineer had the recording on. But when my daughter's in the studio, she's in there and she just, while we're talking about techniques or we're talking about issues that we're having with maybe storage and, you know, all kinds of things, issues that's going on in the control room.
If someone's recording you without your knowledge, it's against the law. So they can't do that.
Well,
so
no,
that's
no,
stealing
no.
also.
Well, wait. If you're sitting in a recording room, it's not against the law.
But if we're not pertaining our recording to our project, and then you're taking information that you can use outside of what we're doing without my permission, you don't have that right. You can't do it. It's just like
when someone calls you on the phone,
and they say, I'm recording you, they can't do it without your knowledge. They have to let you know first. So, in other words, even if you're in the booth, they have to let you know when that mic is live and when it's not.
But, okay, now look. But suppose
that
what you did in the studio happened to bring spice to the recording. And then he run it by you, say, hey, would you like to use it?
As long as that's my point. As long as they let you know that this is what I did, and now it's up to you to decide if you want it or not, because you still have to have that choice whether you want that to happen or not. But by law, you can't record anyone without their knowledge. Anyone, recording studio or not. I could be in the studio dissing a fellow label mate, and you're recording it without my knowledge.
Yeah,
and
well,
then
well,
it's not on my record,
track.
But then
I'm
a disc record comes out, and you put it on there, and then I'm liable because it's my voice, but I had nothing to do with that. So you, by law, you still can't do that.
So you mean to tell me that my CD I have coming out saying Right On Raw Dog with you, Frank, and Hatch, and Poetic, and it hits the stands, let me say this, the 1st of September, that I've done wrong?
No. We're talking about taking material without your awareness or your acknowledgement of it. Even though you're going to use it towards that product, you still have to let me know before you do it that this is what I did. Now, if you do that, and then I have that option of agreeing or disagreeing, then it's different. But just to say I just sampled you without you knowing and then I used it, come on, you can't do that. You can't do that anywhere for any type of recording.
But I have to say something, and I got to tell you, I have sampled from this program different individuals and some things that they have said. And, you know, no, I'm not putting it out there in September. But it made one heck of a product. And, you know, I do know you have to have permission, you know, to do that. I've even sampled and Poetic, and I was going to surprise him with one of those, with him on various shows, things that he said and his reactions to certain things, you know. But, yeah, getting back into sampling, I think it's one of the best unique machines that they could have put on the market. Because, there, you know, it, back in the analog, when they had LPs, the vinyl, there were times when I'd hear the music, and having a band, you know, you always stretch songs, you know. You when you're doing a live performance, you stretch them, twist them, and do it your way, and put on a show while you're doing it. And, you know, the terrible thing was is that You had to be there to hear it, or it had to be recorded in that live performance so that someone else could hear it at a later date. But I always, when I'd hear a song that, you know, we were going to do a cover on in a live performance, I would always find the part that I wanted to just loop it, just be able to, because it had something to that part that made it just hold it there, you know, and then go to the bridge, you know. So I'm going to say that, you know, I think that the sampling machine is a great invention. I mean, yeah, there are legalities to sampling, and, you know, I think that some people take it too far and want all the credit for everything that they do without giving acknowledgement, you know, that who's the guy with the black eyed peas that did that and he got caught, you know. Kanye's done it, you know. So, you know, I think what you have to understand, it keeps the old pros in the new music. You know, the artists such as George Duke. It will keep him alive for years and years to come because he was an extraordinary musician. And just a little bit of him in a product of nowadays. I mean, it's going to be hard to find a musician of his quality and of his talent. So, you know, I appreciate the sampling machine, but I think that, you know, they need to give credit where credit is due. You know, like a Billy Preston. I don't know of another organ player that had the depth and the creativity. And if you listen to some of his songs, you'll hear it. You know, his being a musician, you know. And so, you know, I appreciate it for that fact, but I don't like it because credit's not given to those that, you know, that they sampled from. They got to catch up with the guy, you know, to say, oh, yeah, that came from such and such. I think, you know, you had a lady on here that was with a rap group. And she had mentioned how many people had sampled things from them that they had caught up with. You know, was her name Cheryl?
Yeah, Cheryl.
You remember
the
that
Pearl.
Poetic? Yeah.
Cheryl
and
Pearl.
She mentioned that. And, you know, so the only thing I can say, it keeps the artist alive and relevant in today's music that are no longer here. So I like it from that point. I wish they would give acknowledgments to that they use their samples. And, hey, you know what? Pay their estate for the use of that. And that's the only fair thing. And, you know, other than that, you know, I want to hear what someone else might have to say on that.
Well, since we're talking about sampling, you know, that's fantastic. I love the sampler as a new electronic instrument. And there are laws right now that because of the copyright infringement acts that have been taking place since hip-hop started using samplers that have been incorporated into law, so that most samples that you use have to be indicated on your CD. If you look at a CD now, you'll see whatever samples they use. But the thing about sampling what I call electronic musicians is that now you can create things because you don't have to have the skill of that actual artist or musician who played it. Now you can be more creative with the sound aspect, not the musical aspect, because most of these new producers who use this electronic equipment really don't know anything really about music. And I'm not saying all, but the majority of them just have the equipment and they have a manual. So sampling can be a plus and it can be a negative. But then keep in mind, which genre of music are we talking about that predominantly uses these techniques, which is your hip-hop music, because you're dealing with a bunch of artists who know nothing about music per se, playing it, but they can take that sample and be creative on top of that. It truly gives life to the old-school artists who aren't being heard anymore, but in a sense, sampling has been the end of the blacks in the major studios because they don't look at blacks as being the musicians anymore. You just rappers and mixers and such. But Hatch, I just want to say this about Hatch. Hatch, you know, worked for over 20 years editing for Sony Records, and he's done some editing with Michael Jackson. He did Michael Jackson. He did some of the major Sony artists of that time. I think he also did, I think it was Thriller or Bad, one of the two, where he actually had Michael Jackson's tracks in his hand where he was responsible for the editing. So if you really want to get deep, I think Brother Hatch should, you know, expound on some of his experiences with those projects.
Well, I just like to say, first most, when it comes to sampling, being a musician, matter of fact, my first keyboard that I purchased was a sampler, the Esonic EPS, one of the first ones that came out after the Mirage. But I just like to say, as long as I enjoy sampling, as what Poetic said a minute ago. If you take it and you go in and you record a train coming down a track, or you go in and record a door closing and turn it into a bass beat, you know, something like that. I love the world of sampling, but I think when it comes to the music, you know, I still say the credit should go back to the musician. You know, if you're going to, I don't care if you're going to just play four bars of the piece, you know, why sample? If you're a musician, play it. You know, I got variations of songs that carries on the rhythm or melody of another song that was already created, you know, but I didn't sample it, you know, I played it, you know. And I think when it comes to sampling, I think that's the part that's being abused the most out of sampling. As I said, speaking of it this evening about tape editing, as Frankie D said, you know, not 20 years, but I have been with Sony Music for 15 years, And I did tape editing for 10 years, you know. And that's why I said there's two stages of tape editing. You know, there's the that's why I said you have the editing after the phase of mixing, and then you have the post-editing before the mastering, you know. And I worked in post-editing before the mastering in the studios. And post-editing consists of having trained ears. You know, I was responsible even after the, like I said, the master thriller. You know, I was responsible to sit there and listen to that whole production and album. And my insurance was to ensure that, like I said, there was no dropouts, normalizing that everything was balanced and equals. If there was some noise or pops that was in the music between the fade ins and fade out, I was responsible for checking those things out and clearing them. And anything that I touch on the master, I could not touch anything on the final phasing of editing. As Frank mentioned a minute ago about recording somebody, you cannot touch a person master or do anything to it until you have their consent. So if there was something that I saw in a mix of a song or a project that I felt needed to be attended to, I had to go through the procedures of going all the way back to the studio, the engineers, the producer, and the artist, and get consent before I could lay my hands on it. And my final stage of the editing of the game was the time, even going to your the CD cover and the booklets and the inlays to make sure that the titles of the songs were spelled correctly, that the timing on the song was correct.
But
the
right now you're speaking of post production. We're gonna get that.
Excuse me.
Yeah, I said, sound like right now you're speaking of the post production after the production phase. Right now we in production, so we definitely gonna get to the marketing phase because that's where it sounds like you're going at right now.
No, this not production. This is called editing. Yeah, we're editing. That's what Frank said a minute ago. I worked in tape. I was a tape editor for 15 years. Now,
okay.
I said breaking out.
I thought you were talking about on the CD cover, making sure, you know, your name and all that stuff was on there. That's what I thought you were talking about.
No, what I'm saying on that on your the song. Let's just say that your first song on that CD, when you send me that CD, that first song, another stage of editing, a lot of people don't know about. That's why I said some of the things when it comes to editing, that's why I say when it comes to the recording and the mix down, after the recording and the mix down, really when you get down to editing, to the last phase of editing, it's about insurance that everything was done right. You see? So the last phase, that's why I said it's two phase of editing. That's why I said it's the post-editing and then the editing. So let's say in the post-editing, you had song A, B, C. Even part of editing, the producer might come in and say, I don't want the song on the CD ABC. I want it CBA. You see what I'm saying? So now you have to go in and change and rearrange that whole CD as far as how the song track's going to line up on the CD. So if he sent the song and he said, at the last minute, he decided that he wanted the song not to be ABC anymore, you know, but they have already did the album cover and the CD, And now you buy that CD, and when you look at your album cover, your CD cover, and it says track one is I Love You, you know. But when you play the song, track one is I Don't Care About You Anymore. You see what I'm saying? All this is part of editing.
I actually got that recently. Yeah, I agree with you. I got a track from an artist in their group. The tracks, the part of the on the CD cover, everything was totally from. They had three songs on there. Number three was actually number one on the
Yeah, and that's part of editing. That's all this is part of the last phase of editing. Now, I said once you get into editing, you really shouldn't be recording. You know what I'm saying? It's just like you were speaking earlier ago, you know, when we got on the subject about microphones and sampling. That was said, when you get to the stage of editing and you're listening to the song and the engineer recorded the vocals too far away from the microphone or too close and he distorted, like Brother Frank said, you know, that has nothing to do with editing. You got to take it back to the recording phase. You see what I'm saying? You don't. That's not okay. Editing, and that's what people okay. have to understand the phases of the recorded sequence and do that correctly, you know, so that when you get to the last stage of
because you're absolutely right. You're absolutely
you
right.
You know, because after that last phase we didn't get into that you're talking about is after that last phase of editing is mastering. You see?
Yeah.
So if
and we'll
you
get
got
into that.
That.
We'll get into that next
right.
week.
Right. So
anyway, let's let these other guys speak real quick. Hatch, we look like we got about 4 minutes. Let's go to
okay.
Frankie, and then let's close out with Raw Dog. Frank, you got
yes,
two
sir.
Minutes.
Hey, all
what's
I want
your final
to
thoughts
is,
for our listeners?
The final thought is make when you're ready to get to the editing phase, understand this. That your recording is only going to be good as the source material. Your musicians, your artists, they all have to be strong. The stronger that your artists and musicians are, even your producer, if he's playing all your music, is that you don't have to do a lot of cleanup afterwards before we get to that final stage, the better results you're going to have. So just keep that in mind. It's only going to be as good as what you put into it. If you got a lot of stuff we got to clean up and take out, you're going to hear it. By the time that song comes out, you'll say, hey, man, I didn't say that. And they said, of course you didn't, because we took out all that mess you put in there, and now it's a viable record. So that's all I wanted to emphasize. Be good at the beginning of your recording, the less we got to do in editing.
All right, Rondo, you follow up, sir.
Hey, I agree with Frankie D. You know, hey, you're only as good as you are good. And, you know, that old phrase, you can't blow air up, it fits this one, you know. So,
I love it.
Hey, I agree. I'm done.
All right, guys. You're listening to Hip Hop National. Go ahead, definitely.
The last part I just want to emphasize it, again with Brother Raw Dog and Frankie D. And I said when it comes to the editing phase of the game, it's mostly like Raw Dog said, you're the doctor, you're operating and you're usually taking away, you know, you're not adding. With the only added that you should be having is enhancing the sound that has already been created, but not recording.
Guys, you only hear that here on Hip Hop National Radio. We bring you this 7 days a week now. We bring you music on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, live music to be played, and also on after every show we play your music. On Monday, Wednesday, Friday, those are our discussion nights where we talk about the themes that impact the industry of music. And then on Sunday, we take you to church with Pastor Chris Willingham. Okay? Tune in. Make sure you tune in. Raw Dog, after the commercial, please do as you do. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. It's been a wonderful night. www.hiphopnational.com. Upload your music tonight.
Hi, this is Pastor Chris Willingham, founder and pastor of Crimson Line Ministries Atlanta. We are so excited about a new strategic partnership between Crimson Line Ministries and Hip Hop National Radio. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, and every time zone in between, we're going to be reaching out to a new global community with a message of the kingdom of God, a word that will encourage you and give you the tools you need to use your God-given gifts and your passions to inspire and encourage others. This is the point where the music community and the kingdom of God come together to begin transforming our homes, our cities, and our nation. Please join us this Sunday night and every Sunday night as we begin this mighty move of God. God bless.
What's up, guys, and welcome to Hip Hop National Radio's In the Mix with Dr. Ray T. I'm your host. And the next song is going to be by Mike Militia, Feel So Good.
Yeah, Mike Militia.
Next on deck, Jody B. Keep living.
All them little boys who never had their mama call them. I'm talking to the ones who end up dropping out of college and hustle all day just to make a couple dollars and hoping that you make it just to live another day and crying every night, tears dropping from your face and struggle just to wake up in the morning cause of pain and hoping God sees you on your knees when you pray. Your baby mama tripping, your son's father sipping to another bitch, staying up waiting for a ring about to slip. You lost your only son cause he had to go to war and now you find yourself walking to the liquor store. Same issue, different day is what you're thinking on your mind. Living life without your baby brother cause he's doing time. Ashamed to go to school because the clothes you can't afford. 16 and pregnant, so them niggas call you whore. Keep your head up, little mama, something gotta give. Stay in school, little soldier, you got a life to live. To all them good women stuck living with a bad man, he always quick to hit you but he never hold your hand. I know you wanna fly away and never have to land. I know you wanna throw away that big old wedding band. I know you really trying to fight and take a firm stand. I just really wanna tell you that I understand. Yeah.
With Dr. Ray T. can be heard on the Spreaker channel. www.spreaker.com/listen. Hip Hop National Radio. Next on deck is A.Y. Lee, My Way, a Bionic production.
A.Y., what up, baby? You got my back on this?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we just go run through this thing. Come on.
I've got fire, my one desire is to take you higher, but I'll do it my way.
This patiently waiting is so frustrating.
opposition. Then others hang on to every word like they the messiah. There is none higher, but on the contrary, I'm so sick and scary. So call for a citywide event before I snap and your whole system collapse. Cause in order to rebuild, I must first sit down. And my sound is so profound, I could be world renowned. But I'm being suppressed like a muzzle on a barrel of a robbery and bordel. But still I pray, and this is still I say, I got next while they continue to play. And I continue to return day after day, but the results are still the same. What am I to do? I build my own course, I make my own rules. Put the game how I see fit, I will not lose.
That fire, my one desire.
But I've been doing that as my resume has shown. Am I better off alone? Cause my style is homegrown. Influence on me is very limited. But for you, it's like you, that freshman kid with no ends and no friends. They did whatever it took to try to fit in, but never did. You're losing the long one cause you're taking some friends, passing by them pennies and forget dollars are made from cents. Your tunnel business bit, so you can't see. You're about to drive into the abyss of mediocrity. Cause as you fall back, you better smarten up, cause all brown nose and get you two girls in one cup. And that's not what's up. I'm so far ahead that Joneses can't catch up. I'm what?
That fire, my one.
I've learned it's not who does it first, but who does it bigger. Just like women, it's not who's cuter, but who's got the better figure. Go figure, all the rigmarole and hoop jumping means nothing if these cats keep lunching. So as long as you keep pine hopping, you'll never be chart-topping. Tell me why. A few years back, mad caps was walking around with an East Coast swag. And now they got a Southern drawl, throwing auto-tune on all their songs. And tell me why. Dudes don't want to pay for the beats that'll change the game and make their style concrete. With current, it's past. Me, I pass. Enhance and advance while you trying to make a new dance.
That fire, my one desire.
Next on deck is Lil E, Living Life.
Yeah, yeah. It's your boy, E. Plan. They ain't always gonna make it. I'm just laughing one time. But check me out. I'm living life good. Yeah. Hey, E,
I'm living life good. Born and raised in the hood. Yes, I am from the bottom.
I'm the greatest, but really I am a hero. Sitting tape getting wrecked, but I have no sale dough. But even if I go broke, then I'ma have to sell some more. I'm trying to get my name out there, cause no one knows. It's like I don't exist in this world. See, I'm not invisible. I stand my ground like a statue. I'm something that's visual. Picture me in your gallery, even in your collage. I'm different from these other rappers, so I don't camouflage. I try to do my best to get shows, and when it happens, I wear my best hoes. Shirt tie slacks with my best clothes. When life get hard like concrete, I just plant my 10 toes, but nobody knows I'm growing up like tall afros. Until they look at me and then they look at my eyes, and then they start to realize that I'm not a disguise. It's really me, Mr. E-R-I to the C, but my stage name is E-Classy, baby.
I'm living life good, born and raised in the hood.
That's why I'm so cold. No need to get myself together.
another, cause I'm already through with living a life that's under control. I'm just trying to get to the point where I can have money to blow. See, I'm the youngest rapper that most of these people don't know. But when it comes down to playing football, shout out to my boy Joe. That was his sport, and the only thing he had on his mind, he was just moving too fast instead of taking his time. I try to make the right decisions in life instead of doing wrong, even if it takes me a week to spend some days alone. I mean, to get my mind right, to see my swag already tight, and all I have to do now is just grind all night. I'm just trying to do my best, and it's real, cause I'm hungry for this game. All I need is a full meal. I'm a talented young man who was blessed with a great skill. He class reporting to you live. For real.
On deck is Big Moochie with a new hotline club dance called Baka Shuffle.
Hey, I need everybody to report to the dance floor right now for this one here, baby. Let's go. Now walk into your ride.
Next on deck is Animal Flavor. We are human beings.
Come on. These clouds arouse my desire for life.
Yeah.
I did just add some spice. Taking the storms, what is wrong is right.
Yeah.
Vice versa, we can't bring back the hands of time.
Yeah.
Productivity unlocked. Daily,
yeah.
In togetherness, I believe it's the master of plans,
yeah.
For eternity, say you, yeah, say me,
yeah.
Fingerprints, a firm grip,
yeah.
My Lord is a master,
yeah.
I was born equipped with this arithmetic,
yeah.
Words of wisdom,
yeah.
Witness to the blind, leading the blind,
yeah.
Behind to bless, to stress,
yeah.
With this prophecy.
Yeah.
I prophesy,
yeah.
Ignorance is kind,
yeah.
Inviting us with a smile,
yeah.
Is it love or lust? Moving forward,
yeah.
Turn, then unwind,
yeah.
Two steps,
yeah.
With each breath I breathe,
yeah.
Together we will achieve,
yeah.
Feel strong about this belief,
yeah.
I believe in equality, yeah.
Yeah.
We all human beings. We all human beings howling,
yeah.
Like a wolf in the still of the night, a beast,
yeah.
Playing this out, matching the pieces, transforming my reality,
yeah.
Enabling the growth of the supreme being. 1, 2,
yeah.
10,
yeah.
Make sure the thief of time,
yeah.
Doesn't snatch your mind, spiraling out of control, your soul,
yeah.
Our Lord shall console.
Yeah.
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 Straight and narrow, not just the bow. I am the arrow. With these blessings, I do travel.
Yeah.
Steady through the universe.
Yeah.
Frequently do I converse with the master's degree in infinity.
Yeah.
Setting for nothing more or nothing less.
Yeah.
Because together we will achieve equality. Yes, Lord.
Yeah.
We are all human beings. Yeah.
Yeah.
We are human beings. Come on.
Yeah.
Because together we will achieve.
Yeah.
I stand firm in this belief. Equality. Yes, Lord. We all.
Yeah.
We all human beings.
Yeah.
4 and 6 get 10.
Yeah.
I check once, then twice, then turn.
Yeah.
Our fire. I be pouring out love on each of your foreheads.
Yeah.
Blessed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Equality.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord. We are human beings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Equality.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord. We are human beings.
Next on deck is Shergi. Lovely day.
It's gonna be a lovely day. good and my dough good. Damn it, poppin' like an outlaw from Rosewood. But it's Ace Town, what you know about that? Y'all be on Dick Low Key. You can be from the hardest hood, take off to the Ace, and I have Kofi. Niggas is crashing, that ain't your friend. That's just a passion, tryna bring you in attachment. To keep it with his partner has been, still living past it. Sweat is where it get ugly, man, just face the truth. Don't look the other way, still gonna be love today.
Gonna be in love today. Tell my baby I'll be gone, making money, tell my mom, making love today. Now, never even cross my mind.
Hey guys, you know this is the part of the show we gotta be going off. Before I go, I just wanna let you guys know out here for all the artists that did not hear the submissions tonight, I want you to do is this. If you got your mixes ready, all you gotta do is go to www.hiphopnationalradio.com and send your mixes to us. But remember, the language and the content need to be right. I see you guys next time. God bless. This is Dr. Ray T in the mix for Hip Hop National Radio.
Now you know who I am, now you know who I be. Now you know I got at least 1,000 that's rolling with me.
HipHopNational.com
for coming along for the ride for another tour through the new music industry on Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio. Hip Hop. Hip Hop. Hip Hop National.